Good morning. Good morning. And some of us can be real happy. Cubby's won. Good morning. Our scripture today comes from the 12th chapter of Romans, verses 9 through 13. I'm using the Message translation, and the words will be on the screen. Let us listen carefully. You may have heard these words from another translation before, but I want us to listen so very carefully to these words, for their meaning is very deep for us. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run from dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. The Word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Love.
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 Love in this world is pretty messed up.
It asks for a lot and it never returns the favor.
Love in my world? Well, it brings more trouble than it's worth.
In my world, love has felt like
sabotage.
It flees into the night. It leaves at the first sign of trouble.
And it never feels like I love you, no matter what.
Because love in my world, it leaves.
And when it leaves, there's only disaster left.
Oh, promise is a lot, but it doesn't deliver much.
It breaks hearts.
I've picked up the pieces of my broken heart one too many times.
So I build walls.
Love isn't worth the tears.
The pain, the loneliness.
The surrender.
It's exhausting.
Even when you try to do love right, love fails.
I have made a mess out of love.
What good is it?
You can't help me.
Why love at all?
Why do I even try to love?
Why sacrifice to carry the burden?
Why?
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 Because there is a perfect love.
Perfect love that can end the disaster.
A perfect love that can heal the brokenhearted.
There is a love that saved those who are dwelling in this messed up world.
God tells us about it because we wouldn't recognize it if it showed up on our own doorstep.
It's a love that takes its time.
It's profound.
It doesn't brag or badmouth.
God's love is like a shield that we know will never leave us.
That you can trust.
Hoping.
And you never, ever exhaust it.
That's His kind of love.
And it never fails.
And while we were keeping records of wrongs and self-seeking and being unkind, He still died for us.
How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
How can I love like that?
Because I am loved like that.
I can love well, not because of me,
but because He first loved me.
Gracious, loving, Almighty God, teach us to love like that. Amen. We often don't know how to love like Christ because we're confused by love. The world tells us that love is all about a fleeting emotion. The world tells us that love is about what's in it for me. And the world tells us that love can be bought by baubles and money. And an exchange. We are so very confused by love, are we not? The world tells us lies about love, and we get confused by what love really is, do we not? All around us, we are bombarded by messages about love that are not in line with what Scripture tells us that love is, and we make a mess of it in our own lives. I know I have. Haven't you? Be honest. Haven't you? And we're so very confused by love because we're confused by our motivation to love. Some of us say, I love you, because of what we want in return. We say, I love you because we want to manipulate, to coerce, to make ourselves feel one way or another. And that is not the type of love that Scripture teaches us. That is not why God loves. That is not how Christ loved. And that is not the type of motivation to love that we are taught by Scripture. That type of love is broken. That type of motivation is fleeting. That type of motivation will leave you. But the motivation that Christ talks about, the motivation that the gospel teaches, is a motivation that will see you through the long dark night, that will see you when troubles come. The motivation to love that is taught by the Scripture that we just read is the motivation that will be transformative. In the video, it talked about love that is fleeting, love that is broken, but a different kind of love, a love that is lasting, that is a forever kind of love. And they ask that question, how can I love like that? First of all, you can't do it on your own. We are incapable of loving like that on our own. We need the grace of God to do it. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in order to love like that. And Paul, in this what we've read, the letter to the Romans, tells us how we can love like that. First, Paul says, love from the center of who we are. Not the surface, not the emotional surface, but from the very center of who we are. Go down deep. Go down bone deep. Go down where it matters. Love from there. Not from the outside, but love from who you are, from your core, from your being, from where it really matters, from where your roots are. You know those roots that run deep? From the very soul and soil of your being. And be good friends who love deeply, not fair weather friends who run out when trouble comes, who are only there in joy times, but who are committed to walk this walk with each other. Love from the center and from the deep, in the good times and the bad and the mundane times. I've seen us do this here. I've seen us hold hands and walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I've seen us hold hands when we've been on the mountaintop. That's the love we're talking about. And I've seen us love each other enough to tell the truth. Right? Even when that truth is hard. Even when that truth is difficult to bear and difficult to hear. But love demands that we speak the truth. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Keep yourselves, which means you take responsibility for yourself. To keep yourselves in the Word. To keep yourselves connected to Christ. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame so that you can bear the flame for someone who's going through those times. That they need light in their darkness. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame by staying in touch with Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do your part in the relationship. Be active participants in your faith journey. Don't always expect to be fed, but do the feeding as well. Be alert, servants of the Master. Be awake. Look around. How can you show love? How can you see those who are in need? How can you be cheerfully expectant? Did you come here today expecting to be with Christ? Did you come here cheerfully expecting to show love to each other? Are you cheerfully expecting to leave here and call someone who's not here and say, I love you enough to notice that you weren't in church today? Not a guilt trip, just, hey, I missed you. I noticed that you weren't here. And I just want to tell you I loved you. Or cheerfully expecting to see where God is taking you this day to notice someone who just needs to be noticed. Cheerfully expectant. That God's going to reveal God's self to you in new ways. Don't quit in hard times. Oh, isn't it hard? Isn't it really easy to quit in hard times? Isn't it real easy to give up and just sit down and have a pity party? I have one from time to time. Pull out the China cup and just have a real good old pity party. But when those times come, that's when the prayer has to start, amen? That's when you got to get on your knees and pray all the harder and say, Lord, I choose to love you even more in this time. I choose to trust you in this moment, and I choose right now to love you deeply. And I love this. Be inventive in hospitality. Inventive in hospitality. Get outside the box, folks. Be a little radical so you look silly. Wouldn't it be nice to look silly for Jesus? That's where you laugh, folks. Mm-hmm. Be inventive in hospitality. Reach out to people. Go where they are. Go where they are. Isn't that what Jesus did? I believe he sat down at a well one day in the hot sun and reached out to someone who had been ignored by her community. I believe he reached out to folks who had skin diseases that no one wanted to sit next to. I believe he went to people, didn't expect them to come to him. That's what we're called to be, inventive in how we show the love of Christ. How do we love like that? We take cues from the Master. We look at the stories that are recorded in God's love letter to us, and we do the same here in our world. Why do we do it? Because first we were loved. First we were loved, and now we love. He loved us first. I don't know why God loves us. I just know that God does. We don't deserve that love. We could never earn that love. But God loves us anyway. Isn't that the most amazing thing you've ever heard of? That God loves us unconditionally, with all of our baggage, with all of our warts, with all of our issues. God loves us. And God expects us to love each other. And it sounds really simple, doesn't it? We are loved, and we're expected to love each other. But it's going to take all of us together, encouraging each other to continue to love. Because the world really doesn't like that message. The world does not want to hear the message of love. But that's what we're called to be. Motivated by love, not for what we're going to get, but because we were loved by God. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen? Amen. As we sing our last hymn, which is something, I'm sure. 354, I Surrender All. Our altar is open. You're invited to come and get on your knees and ask the loving grace of God to cover you. Whatever you need, God stands ready at this altar. Maybe you need to receive this love for the first time or the umpteenth time. This altar is open. Come and meet God here. Maybe you need to start the pathway of putting your roots down with this family of faith. Whatever it is, come. If you'd like for Mary Noble and I to pray with you, we'll do that. Come to this altar. Allow God's grace and God's mercy and God's love to pour over you. As we stand and sing, I Surrender All.